recovering from lunch. Yes, this is a few minutes back in my hotel room after a conversation at lunchtime, which I'll never forget for the whole of my life. Just to put it on record, I suppose, I didn't record any of the conversation, but it was a conversation with two people at the table, myself and my brother, with two other people we'd never met before. All about, first of all, 9/11, the experience of what happened on the day in 9/11, their experience, where they were, what happened to them on that day, and what happened during the subsequent weeks that they were in Vancouver before they came back to Ireland. That's one set of stories which can, I just hope to remember, because they were moving from the United States back into Canada, got stopped at the border at the time of the closure of the borders immediately on the day. My brother Peter was somewhere on the day, and at the moment I can't quite remember where he was. And on the day I was on honeymoon in Turkey. And so we described to each other, four of us really, what it was like on the day and subsequently. What bothers me now is that I can't remember what my brother Peter actually said, where he was on the day, but that will come back to me. The conversation then went on to something that was quite riveting. I'll just say this much, that it's the first time in my life I've ever spoken to somebody who has saved somebody from committing suicide, who has actually found somebody hanging unconscious after attempting to take their own life, and who has literally lifted them up off the end of the rope or sheet or whatever it was and saved their life. So we spoke about that, and this man was a prison officer, so he described how more than once in his life he's been in touch, he's saved people's lives. He wasn't telling this as a blowing his own trumpet. He also spoke about having come across people who had killed themselves on several occasions too. But I was particularly interested in what it would be like for somebody who had tried to take their own life and who had gone the whole way, if you like, and just been rescued at the last minute. And it was a privilege, and I'm very glad to have had the chance to speak with somebody who has such first-hand experience. So having had these two types of conversations at the table, perhaps other bits of conversation as well, the next step of the pilgrimage is the Stations of the Cross. And my brother has gone off to that, and I will be going there in a minute. And I want to go to the Stations of the Cross, and I also want to go to the launch of the bishop, I suppose you would call him the ex-bishop of Limerick, Bishop Murray, who's here on the pilgrimage. He is launching a book in Lourdes in the Veritas bookshop this afternoon. I don't ever think I've been in the Veritas bookshop. That's a Roman Catholic bookshop, or certainly a bookshop that sells Christian literature. It may actually have religion, sell stuff from other faiths. I'll find that out this afternoon. But I really wonder what Bishop Murray's book will be about. And for a whole host of different reasons, including the fact that I'm the son of a bookseller and I'm interested, I like going to book launches. So it's now coming up to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The Stations of the Cross, I think, begin at 2 o'clock. Bishop Murray's book is launched at 4 o'clock. And I do need a little bit of time out. I do need a... Otherwise, I'll just move from exciting conversation to exciting conversation. And that's not what I'm here for, really. The time with Mother this morning was extraordinary. Wonderful. We left her at lunchtime in the hospital, hospitalité, having her lunch. she won't be going on the Stations of the Cross because they're up a very steep hill, and you wouldn't easily be able to get wheelchairs up there. So the invalides, invalide as they're called here in Lourdes, will be going to one place, and the I daren't use the word able pilgrimages because pilgrims, because the people in wheelchairs are well able. They are as able to be themselves as I am, and perhaps even more so. But the people who are not in wheelchairs and who are not pushing people in wheelchairs, they will go if they want to. And it's entirely up to you what you go to. So I'm going to linger here for a few more minutes. I've just composed my first haiku, dwelling on the Stations of the Cross. And what I think I will do is go to the Stations of the Cross and meditate. And out of the meditations may come a series of haiku. That's what I would like to do anyway, to see what happens. That would be my poetic pilgrimage.